Great to see everybody today. Appreciate your presence. We're going to turn our attention now to the Lord's Supper. And I want you to think about the scripture that Riley read for us just a few moments ago from the book of Hebrews chapter 2. The Lord's Supper is all about how Jesus came into this world and he lived a perfect life and then he died on the cross for our sins. And this particular scripture talks about why he did that. So Hebrews chapter 2 verse 14, inasmuch as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, that's talking about you and I. He himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. You know, if you look closely at that couple of verses there, it tells us why Jesus came into this world, why he took on flesh and blood, what we call the incarnation. Why did he become a man? And it says he did it so that he could die, so that through death he could destroy the one who had the power of death, that is the devil. But in order to die, he had to become a man. And the reason he did it is so that he could destroy the devil. And look at this last part, verse 15, release those who through fear of death were all of their lifetime subject to bondage. In a moment, we're going to sing the song, Blessed Assurance. And I think one of the most blessed assurances that we enjoy is the idea that we do not have to fear death. And it's because Jesus came into this world and he died on the cross for our sins. And that's really a pitiful description in verse 15, all their lifetime subject to bondage through fear of death. Think about what it would be like if we didn't have Jesus, but we knew we were going to die someday. And he says, all their lifetime they were subject to bondage. Why? Because they feared death. But it says, because Jesus came and he died, he destroyed the one who has the power of death, that is the devil, and he's released us from that fear. We no longer have to be afraid to die. Let me give kind of a, I hope it's a good illustration, but on Thursday, I took Ellen to the airport, and she was flying, catching a plane to California, spent a few days out there with her parents, or with her mom, I should say, because they're from California, and see some of the old friends and family out there. And so we went to the airport, and it wasn't a mournful, tearful goodbye. I hope you understand that. I mean, I'm choking up now, right. I miss her so much. No, it wasn't a mournful, tearful goodbye at all. Now, you know, your spouse, you're saying goodbye, but it wasn't. It wasn't at all. And I'm sure it wouldn't have been for most of you either in a situation like that. Number one, because I was happy for her to be able to go. You know, she wanted to go to California. She wanted to get back there. In fact, I was a little jealous because, you know, she's from California. It's a beautiful place. We lived out there. I would like to go back. So I wasn't, you know, sad for that reason. I was happy for her. But also because Tuesday, Lord willing, go to the airport and pick her up, and I'll, you know, I anticipate seeing her again in just a few days. And so, yeah, we hugged, we kissed, I said goodbye. But it wasn't a mournful goodbye for those reasons. So I was thinking about that. I was thinking about this verse and how before Jesus and without Jesus, mankind would be all of their lifetime subject to bondage, that fear of death. But we don't feel that way. And when even a loved one passes away, you could really apply those same two principles. We should be happy for them because they're going somewhere that's far better than this world. And number two, if they're Christians, we have every reason to anticipate seeing them again. Now you might say, well, that's a little different. I mean, this is just a 4-day trip to California. Heaven's a lot better than California. I think we all would agree with that. And the fact is, if we're Christians, we have even greater assurance of being together again. I don't know if I'll see her again for sure. But we do have the promise of God's word that we can be together for eternity, where we'll never grow old, and where we will never say goodbye. And so, you know, the Bible stresses this many times. For example, 2 Timothy chapter 1, look at the language there. It talks about how we have been the recipients of the grace in Jesus Christ, which actually began before time began, but it's now been revealed by the appearing of the Savior Jesus Christ. Look at what he did. He abolished death. And he has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. You know, Jesus has abolished death, and he has given us life and light and immortality through the gospel of Jesus Christ. And again, it takes great faith to look at it from that point of view. But if we have faith in God's word, we know that that is indeed the truth. Death has been abolished, and it's no longer anything that we as Christians have to fear. There's a scripture that always bothers me, and it's found in the story of Jesus when he went to the tomb of Lazarus, and he talks to Mary and Martha, and he says, you know, whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Well, I believe it because Jesus said it, but I also know it's likely that I am going to die and that all of us are going to die. So what did Jesus mean when he said that? Well, he's talking about not really. You know, we're not really going to die. We might die physically, but if we believe in Jesus, then we will never die. Again, one of the most blessed, wonderful promises that we enjoy if we're Christians. And the idea is seen in James chapter 2, verse 26. The body without the spirit is dead. Look at it closely. We don't die. What dies? The body dies. The body without the spirit is dead. That body, yes, that old physical body is going to die, but we are not going to die. And so it wasn't sad saying goodbye to Ellen, because I know I'm going to see her again soon, and I'm happy for her. But could we somehow transfer that into our attitude towards one another when we say goodbye to our loved ones and to our friends? They're going to some place far greater than California, and we have every assurance that we can see them once again someday if we are Christians. And the reason we have that, like we saw in Hebrews chapter 2, is because Jesus was willing to come into this world and take on flesh and blood and fight off every temptation and live a perfect life and then do the most horrible thing imaginable. He was willing to submit to the Roman execution of crucifixion. He was willing to die on the cross. And the reason we don't have to fear death is because he dealt with our sins and he's destroyed the devil, the one who had the power of death. And we no longer have to be afraid. So there's a lot of different things we think about from week to week as we partake of the Lord's Supper. This morning I want to think about how, because of this sacrifice, we don't have to fear dying, because we know that we have eternal life in Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads and give thanks for the bread. Our holy God and Father in heaven, we bow our heads with thanksgiving at this time. So thankful that you allowed Jesus to suffer and die on the cross for our sins, to pay the price so that we no longer have to fear death. And we have the promise of eternal life in heaven with you forever. But we know it was a great price that had to be paid, and so help us at this time to reflect on Jesus' suffering, his great love, and help us to be thankful for the sacrifice that was made. And all this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.